A key part of President Trump's tough-on-crime rhetoric has often focused on the gang MS-13. It has operations in El Salvador, Los Angeles, and Long Island here in New York.
To any member of MS-13 listening, I have a message for you. We will find you. We will arrest you. We will jail you. We will throw you the hell out of the country.
These hardline speeches might satisfy the president's supporters, but what about the people whose lives are directly impacted by MS-13? Hannah Dreyer is an immigration reporter at ProPublica. Her story in this week's New York Magazine focuses on a teenager named Henry. Henry is a Salvadorian refugee living legally on Long Island. Henry tried to do the right thing, but it didn't end well for him. He was detained by ICE, and as I talk to you right now, Henry is in a detention center. He is waiting to be deported. Hannah, how is Henry right now?
Henry is terrified for his life right now. He talked to police and FBI because he wanted to get out of MS-13. He was recruited into the gang as a child in El Salvador, and he had tried to escape the gang by coming to Long Island. But as you said, the gang is now active in Long Island, and so MS-13 found him there and forced him to rejoin. And wanting to get out, he went to police. He thought the police would help him. He thought the FBI would help him. But instead, they turned around and gave all of his information to ICE, and in a way that made it pretty obvious to the gang that he had been informing. So now he's in a detention center getting death threats almost daily, possibly just days away from getting a final deportation order back to El Salvador, where the gang has told him it will kill him.
So Henry gave you his phone, you spoke with him, and when I read your work, I see that you did a lot of reporting on the organizational structure of MS-13, and you write about how they operate on two coasts in the U.S. and across two countries. Can you explain to us how MS-13 is able to provide an instant community for people like Henry?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unusual gang because it's not about making money. It's not like these big drug cartels where everyone's getting rich.
So what is it?
It's really just about community. It was formed by Salvadoran refugees in the 1980s who were escaping civil war. And people got together in Los Angeles who had been forced to flee their home because of this violent civil war and started this gang. And initially, it was sort of these punk rock kids. It was nothing like, I don't know, you think of the mafia or you think of these like big, scary gangs. Now, it's does some criminal activity. There's some marijuana dealing, some cocaine dealing. But the major cartels don't want to work with this gang because it's so loosely organized and so sort of chaotically violent.
I have difficulty coming to terms with two pictures that you're painting. On the one hand, you're saying that at its core, it's about community. And yet we know of incredibly violent episodes involving machetes and mutilation. And even with Henry's story, some of the details of his life are pretty difficult to come to grips with. How tight of a leash did MS-13 have on Henry in Brentwood?
So like you say, it's both violent and driven by community. When experts study the gang back in El Salvador, they find that like 80% of people say they joined for the sense of community. But one of the ways that this gang builds community is through violence. So the gang commits violence in these big groups of people. It's very common to have like 12 people committing a machete murder together. And the idea is that everybody will be a witness, everybody will be on the hook, and so nobody will inform. And the result of violence like that is just horrible mutilations, these really disturbing, horrifying murders. Mm. And Henry himself participated in a murder like that when he was 12. Henry was told that if he didn't kill this man who was tied up in front of him in El Salvador, he himself would be killed. And so at 12, he committed this murder, and that's in his file. That's something he told the FBI, he told police, and it's going to affect his asylum hearing this week.
Ultimately, Henry says he didn't want to be part of MS-13, right? And he tried everything to get out. He even tried to join the military. What was the final breaking point for him? What eventually pushed him to turn on his friends despite this real danger that he faces, even talking to you?
On Long Island in 2016 and also last year, there was this spate of murders that I think he found really disturbing, that went too far. The gang started killing people who went to high school with him for minor offenses, like trying to front as if they were in the gang or getting into, like, basically trash talking in the hallways. And for Henry, that was not what the gang was about in El Salvador. The stakes were much higher. It was a much more violent place. And when he saw this kind of killing happening in Long Island, he decided he had to get out. And he didn't know how to do that. And so what he ended up doing was making this confession to his teacher. And his teacher connected him to law enforcement.
So when Henry goes to Suffolk County Police, they actually bring in an FBI agent to talk with him. And you write that the FBI agents, they made promises, like getting him a new identity far away from Long Island. What happened to that promise?
So the school thought that Henry would be protected. The school officials who I've talked to are shocked that he's now in this place where he is so sure to be killed for having talked. Henry right now is a dead man walking, and that's not just his interpretation of his situation. This is something that former FBI gang task force members have told me, that people who work in gang intervention have told me, MS-13 experts who have thought about his situation. Everybody who would know about this agrees that it's so hard to see how he survives the next couple months.
So let's look at the long term. When ICE just rounds up anyone here illegally, how is this helping gangs like MS-13?
I mean, anybody who knows what's happened to Henry is not going to talk to police. And it's crazy to think that people won't know. His own gang knows that he informed. His own gang is making death threats against him. And anybody else in that gang who's thinking that maybe they want to get out, maybe they want to help police, is going to see what happened to this teenager and use that to make their decisions going forward.
Hannah Dreyer, immigration reporter at ProPublica. Excellent work.
Thanks for having me, Duarte.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.